On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast brought to you by our good friends at Wells Media, which includes Carrier Management, Insurance Journal, and other publications. And today, I'm pleased to have with us Daniel Burris. Dan, you probably don't need much of an introduction, but I appreciate you being with us. It's a crazy time right now when we're going to talk about what leaders need to do at this point. So thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, and can you just give us a quick snapshot of yourself, your background, and where folks could look if they can safely surf right now a website that you'd like them to start at, perhaps?
Yeah, just a quick background. I'll make it really fast, but I started long ago in the beginning of my career, teaching biology and physics. And I share that only because I'm a research science guy, and I think that's important context for what else I'm going to talk about today. Then over time, I started six companies. Five were profitable in the first year. Four were national leaders in the first year. And one of them was in aviation. One of them was, I created the first national mobile real estate app. So it was one of the later ones. By the way, that company ended up... I licensed that technology to Zillow, so when you use Zillow, you know where that came from. Mm-hmm. And my main company, and now I'll get into what I'm doing now, has been around for 36 years. What I'm really doing is helping companies to solve impossible problems, see invisible opportunities, and find the power and certainty in a seemingly uncertain world, which I think is very germane for what's going on right now. So I'm known as a technology forecaster, a futurist, a strategy guy, and what I'm trying to get everyone to do on this podcast and everyone to do everywhere is to not just be fast reactors or agile, putting out fires as quickly as you can, responding to disruptions and the virus and everything else as fast as you can. You have to do that, yes, but I would like us to learn how to be anticipatory, solving problems before they happen. So you don't have them in the first place. Seeing the disruptions before they disrupt, turning disruption into a choice instead of you're just going to get disrupted. And it's very powerful, and that, I think, is what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, great. Okay, so let's unpack that a little bit, because it is a time right now of problems that people are – I see the word proactive, which is really just most of the time reacting really fast, and you're calling fast reaction. It's funny. I've always – people in the insurance industry often said, yeah, we answer the phone – on two rings, on the first ring. And I'm like, so you're reacting really fast. That's not necessarily proactive service.
I remember you heard me speak quite a few years ago. And yeah. One of the things that I like to share is proactive, if you define it, means taking positive action now. What I would like people to be is preactive to future known events, because we think the only thing you can see in the future is death and taxes, which is totally wrong. You can see thousands of things when you learn how to look and you learn how to see. And I'm going to, we'll talk about that as we go.
Yeah, okay. So a little backstory, Dan. I first heard you speak, might have been 2003 or 2005 or something around there at an Accord conference, an Accord Technology, their annual conference. You announced yourself as the futurist. The future is, I'm the guy. It was got a good laugh. And you outlined a lot of things going on at that time. Gosh, I don't even think people were using mobile phones to the point they were, but you were talking about them. So it was interesting. And then about 10 years after that, maybe 7 or 10, you spoke at a big I meeting, the Agents Council for Technology, and spoke there. So that's how I got to know you. But I recall... at least at the ACT meeting, you had outlined quite a bit of work, and we did a workshop at that meeting around hard trends versus soft trends. And this is a kind of an anchor, a cornerstone to your whole consulting practice, I think. It's getting people to think about trends. And could you explain those, how they're different, how they're both important, but also how it might relate to today where we're at with the virus situation?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I'm blessed with a good memory and I actually remember that, even though it was back in the early 2000s. And I've started doing this back starting in 1983. So that's when we were all doing DOS with a blinking thing.
You know? Oh, yeah.
So,
crazy.
And I didn't say it before, but, you know, I've written 7 best-selling books, New York Times, Wall Street Journal bestsellers, and I've really written thousands of articles. I basically get about an article a week published, and I've been doing that for decades. So I've been out there with a lot of being right about the future. And I think what you're referring to, you said I said something funny in the beginning of the speech, and I remember what I said back then in that Accord meeting. I said, you know, I've been able to predict the future and be right, and the key is I leave out the parts I can be wrong about.
Yeah, right.
But what's important is how much you can be right about. And so now let's answer your question about hard and soft trends. And it's really a fundamental to understanding how to be anticipatory. So there's a key, and that is there's no shortage of trends. As a matter of fact, you can even predict what time of year you're going to get a new list of trends. And of course, that's right around the new year, around January. The problem isn't how many trends there are. The problem is which ones will happen and which ones won't, and when. And what I've done using a scientific approach is come up with a way to solve that problem. And that is all trends fit into one of two categories. They're either a hard trend based on a future fact that will happen. In other words, that means you cannot stop it. No one can stop it. It's going to happen anyway. And the other type of trend is a soft trend. And that's based on an assumption, often thought of as a hard trend, but it's not. It can be changed. So if it can be changed, it's a soft trend. If it can't be changed, it's a hard trend. And another little thing before I go further is a trend by itself, in my opinion, remember, I've been doing this for over 3 decades, is worthless unless you attach that trend to an opportunity for you. And when you do that, you burst it into life. So with hard trends and future facts, what's the advantage of them? You can see disruption before it disrupts, giving you the choice to be either the disruptor or the disrupted. And frankly, I'd rather be the disruptor if I already know the default is to get disrupted. And as I said earlier, the advantage of a soft trend is if you don't like it, you can change it. Let me give you a soft trend example, and I'll give you some hard trends example. Would that be fair?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Dan.
All right. So let's tie into what's happening right now with the pandemic, and it's a global pandemic. We know, and this is not a guesswork, this is something we know, this virus is doubling every 3 days. So it's an exponential growth. And I've been tracking exponential growth since the early 80s, but I've been relating it to technology. And remember, exponential means 2 becomes 4 becomes 8, and then it becomes 16. And in the beginning, if you graph exponential, it starts out kind of slow and sleepy, but all of a sudden it gets really big, really fast. And from a digital standpoint, exponential change is now in the what I would call the holy cow phase. It is accelerating and it will get even faster. That's why reacting is not going to help you, because you need to get ahead of it with the low risk of certainty. I'll come back on that in a minute. So you have the virus is accelerating and doubling every 3 days. Now, is that doubling of the virus a hard trend, unstoppable, or a soft trend, stoppable? And the answer is it's a soft trend. Once you realize it's a soft trend, it shows you can do something about it. And how do you stop the virus from spreading? Well, we already know you have to do quarantine. You have to get people to stop moving around and stop giving it to each other to allow us to have time to stabilize and come up with the testing and the drugs and all the things that we need to fix it. And so in the, think of a pandemic this way, because most people don't know about these words. They've been unfamiliar. But again, I've been working in many industries for a long time. When you have an outbreak, now that could be a very bad virus. Usually it comes from Africa or China. SARS came from the Middle East. When you have an outbreak, the thing to contain it is, because it'll double, unless you quarantine it. And that's why they quarantine these areas and it locks it down, and then you can resolve the issue. A pandemic, which doesn't happen very often, is basically a global outbreak, meaning it's now all around the world, and it will continue to spread and double if we don't lock it down. And the slower you are in locking it down, the bigger price you pay. Italy was very slow in locking it down. They're paying a price. And if you look at why is New York in the United States having so much trouble? And that is the virus we knew started coming out in Wuhan, China, back in December. I mean, if you look at the history, hey, it came out in December. We knew that. And we did not limit flights from China, from Wuhan, until the end of January. But if you look at the numbers, this is hard science, how many direct flights from Wuhan to New York were there, and how many people were in those flights every day for the entire month of January? And the answer is there were 300 people a day coming from Wuhan to New York every day.
Jeez.
So why is New York a hotspot? I just told you why. And not to mention, whenever you have people in close proximity, that doubling takes hold, subways and crowded streets. So here's the message I'm giving everyone listening to this podcast, and that is, so it's keeping that social distance is really important. And matter of fact, I just talked to a nurse who is in a emergency room taking care of people with corona and people that are dying from corona. And she said, just think about this for a minute. When you die of corona, there's no relative there to hold your hand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And what's the message? Distance. So the key, so one of the things that, I'm not saying this to be political right now, and I'm not at all being political. I'm just saying that the thinking might be there are certain parts of the country that don't have a big outbreak right now. And there are other parts like Louisiana right now and Los Angeles right now, and of course, New York, where the outbreak is horrible. So why don't we not have business closed down in those other states that don't have much of a problem, and just close down business and get people to stay home where the problem is bad? And the reason is you're not stopping exponential. It will get that way in all those other places if you don't lock down. The sooner you lock them down, the less pain they feel. So I'm just giving you this is why we're having a lockdown. And I know the president is wanting us to consider opening up at Easter time again. But when Easter comes, I'll just tell you right now, we're not going to be doing that because we're nowhere near containing it. And frankly, for those people listening to this podcast right now that are in an area that do not have a lot, you better be doing some social distancing, because it doesn't mean you're immune. One last thing, and then I'm going to leave the virus discussion, and that is right now we are looking at an iceberg, not a pyramid. What I mean by that is a pyramid, you can see all of it. Everything's above ground. An iceberg, you can't see it. Most of it is under the water. And because we don't have testing all over yet, we don't have widespread testing with fast results, it's an iceberg. We don't even know how many people have it and how far spread it is. We will have that soon, though. And then once we really get the numbers, we can better deal with it. So here's the hard trend. I just gave you a soft trend related to the virus. Let me give you a hard trend related to the virus, and I want everybody listening to this. Hard trend, the pandemic will end. Look, the pandemic is going to end. There are some phases. We already know how to end it. One of the things, we can stop the damage by quarantining and getting people to quit moving around. And then the second thing is getting good testing so we can know where the problem is. And then in the meantime, we will have some drugs that are not a cure, but will help resolve the issue. We're getting close to coming up with some on that. And of course, we'll end up with a cure, but that cure probably won't be until early 2021, because you do have to test it so it doesn't hurt people. But we will be able to contain, and we will get to the other side of it. So here's the question that I want to throw to all of our listeners. When the pandemic ends, and it will, what will you be remembered for, if anything? And that's something to be thinking about, especially from a business standpoint, because most of us focus on trying to be successful, a successful executive, or an successful independent agent, or a successful someone that's in the risk area, or maybe the vendors that support and have a successful company. But there's something better than focusing on success, and the virus is giving us the opportunity to make the shift. And this is what I want to get you to think about. There's a difference between success and significance. Success is all about you. It's all about, you know, how well you're doing, the money you're making, the size of your house, the type of car you have, the brand of your watch. And success as a company is the growth of your company and how well you're doing. Significance is not about you. Significance is about what you do for others. And now I'm talking about, it could be your customers or people that aren't even customers that maybe could become customers. If you are, as an individual or a company, trying to elevate your significance right now by doing things that would be significant, not just successful, you will be remembered long after the pandemic ends, and you'll find yourself being far more successful because you weren't focusing on success. You were actually focusing on something better than success, what you can do for others in a significant way. Everyone right now, everybody is hurting, and it ain't just you at your desk or your company. It's your customers, it's your customers' customers, it's their family, it's everybody. So what is it that you could do to ease their pain? What is it that you could offer that could help them if you know what you do? I mean, you know, there's people in with life insurance, and maybe that's an element of the insurance agents right now. And people have life insurance policies. Well, we know they've already thought about mortality. That's why they have a life insurance policy. Maybe that's a good time for you to call them and say, look, I know that you might have or know people that are have the virus, or that some may have even died from the virus, because there's a lot of that happening. And I just want you to know that we'll always be there with you. And if you ever have any questions, let me know. And I will make sure if anybody that you know that's insured through me as anything, I'll be there to make things happen fast. And if you have people that have questions that aren't insured through me and they just have a question, you know what? I'm happy to answer it for them because I'm there to help. You see what I'm trying to do? I'm showing you how you don't have to sell. This is not a direct sales call. This is, I'm there to help you and I don't have a meter running. Now, I gave you an example of a life insurance person, but it could be anyone. And another element of being anticipatory, and I'm sorry, Peter, I'm not giving you a lot of chance to ask me questions, but if you think this is serving your audience well, I'll give you another.
Dan, you're like one take Burris, you know, one question, boom, you go. I like it.
All right. Thank you, Peter. I appreciate that. I think you and I together are trying to really help everyone right now in this podcast. So with that said, as a leader, a manager, whatever your role is, right now, your people, how do you communicate to your people? How do you communicate to your team? And what do you communicate? And how do you communicate to your customers? And what do you communicate? I've got an answer for you. And it involves being anticipatory. It involves hard trends. And that is, you need to be helping them to find certainty. Here's what I mean. we live in an uncertain world. And if everything is uncertain, you don't make a bold move. You don't write a big check. You hold back and wait. You're timid. You're shy. You don't know what to do. But if you have certainty, you have the confidence to make a bold move. Our people need to be certain. For example, how did I start out a few minutes ago? I said, here's a certainty. The pandemic will end. But then I gave you something to think about. What will you be remembered for? And after, by the way, what would you be remembered for as a brother or a sister? What would you be remembered for as a neighbor? What would you be remembered for as a friend after the pandemic? You see, you could take this and bring it personal too. It isn't just a business concept I'm giving you here. And it gives you the ability to actually elevate the difference you make to everyone that you care about right now. So when we go to being certain, what are we certain about? That we are certain that insurance will be needed. We'll be certain that the industry will be there. It's not going to disappear because we've been there for a reason all these hundreds of years already. We will still need risk managers because there will be risk to manage, not only old risks, but new risks. And there will be new tools to use to serve people better. We know that older people that, because they're no matter after the pandemic, there still will be old people and young people. And we know that we're all going to get older. We're not going to all of a sudden get younger. That's a hard trend. We know that we're putting more in the cloud and we're doing more with mobility and we're doing more with virtualization and so on. And that's not going away. That's actually increasing at an exponential rate. We're using AI more and more. So maybe why don't we just talk about applying AI now, right now, to be significant. All right. Well, how would you do that? All right. Let me give you an example. Many people don't realize this, but Amazon, that has that Alexa bot, you know, that you can buy an Alexa device and talk to it. And it's got, you don't have to own the artificial intelligence. The multi-billion dollar artificial intelligence is owned by Amazon. And it's just coming through that device. But what Amazon said about a year and a half ago is, actually, you can use our artificial intelligence for free to do anything you want with it. And here's a simple way that you can do it. And you can go online and get exactly how to do it, to put your information into basically Alexa and have it work off of your special word prompt and give you, whoever you give that to, you know, advice or whatever it is that you put in there. By the way, if you can't figure out how to do it, get yourself a kid. They could make it work. So what does that mean? Well, maybe I've got some really important customers that have a lot of questions and a lot of concerns on their minds right now. And if I taught Alexa, got a kid to help me do that, and taught Alexa these frequently asked questions, the answers, and all of that kind of stuff, and said, well, if you have an Alexa, just use this special word, and I can give you some advice anytime you want it. Or I might, if I have a customer that actually creates a lot of revenue for me, I might send them a special one. And you see what I mean? I'm just giving you a quick idea.
Yeah, sure.
On how you could help them with that. So, so it's finding and speaking in terms, what do we know? So when I'm finished and we're finished with this podcast, I'd like you to really ask yourself, out of all, instead of the big list of things you're not certain about, what are you certain about? Instead of the big list of things that you can't do because we're all kind of sequestered and held down, I want the list of things you can do. See, that's going to help you move forward. And of course, if you're interested in any of this, you can always go to my website, burrus.com, and get all sorts of tools and resources. I've got blogs there that have a couple million monthly readers. That doesn't cost you anything. So there are a lot of ways that you can learn more if you want to.
Dan, this is really good. I wanted to ask you, there is this hard and soft trends a concept. It kind of reminds me, I met a CEO of an insurance company one time, and his background is engineering. And I said, how does an engineer, you know, get involved with insurance and top leadership there? And he goes, well, engineering is good because it teaches you how to think, like how to approach any problem or opportunity. And I think that's that framework of hard and soft trends is another spin on that. And one thing I wanted to ask you in particular, I find it fascinating. We've been in business 21 years, our firm, Artrike, and we have been a virtual company, all 22 of us, since the beginning. And yet, all around us, certainly our clients have not been. So now they're virtual. People working out of their houses. And I find it interesting. The first week was a little rough. The second week, this week, I think people are starting to say, okay, we can actually get stuff done this way. And then I read a piece in the Wall Street Journal. Admittedly, the authors are a distance learning company, but they said in a world that we anticipate, a world where work never really returns to the office, the most important factors for success will be ample trust, mutually agreed upon norms, good communication, and a strong and validating work culture. Their point being that, you know, this is an opportunity really to not just take a Fridays at home concept, which has been going on a while, flex time, flex work, et cetera, but maybe a more permanent shift. And in the insurance industry, goodness, all these people are going to the office for the most part. They feel they have to. With technology, maybe we've discovered something here. Maybe this is a hard trend. I don't know.
Well, one of the things that I teach in my learning systems, my anticipatory learning system, as well as in my books, is what I call the both and principle. So a lot of times when we see a shift or some change taking place, we think it's going to either be this or that. So we were all at the office. Now it's going to be we're all at home. And again, in my 36 years of being right about the future, that is a way to be wrong. In other words, mm-hmm. What we're doing now is we're learning how to work virtually, but we also will want to be going to offices. And here's why I'm saying that. Some people are really good at working by themselves. They can self-manage and do all sorts of great things all by themselves. However, there are other people that have high value and are really valuable parts of your team, but they can't manage working at home. They just and they need to be around other people, and that's how they thrive. So what we're going to learn during this time period is there are some that will thrive working at home, and they can separate home from the family, because one of the problems in working at home is you can't go home. You already are. So mm-hmm. how do you separate work from everything else? Well, some people can do that, and others it just doesn't work. So we will have offices, but we will also be changed in how we deploy our people, and many will be allowed to be work at home because they'll be able to thrive in that atmosphere. So again, one way to look at it is always don't think it's all going to be one way or the other. It's usually both. And mm-hmm. by the way, I mentioned something a few minutes ago. For those that are really interested in being better at hard and soft trends, one thing, of course, is my last book is called The Anticipatory Organization, How to Turn Disruption and Change into Opportunity Advantage. Of course, you could get that. But I have a learning system that is video-based. It's an award winner, and it really is a results-based system. If you'd like to find out more about that, just send an email to Peter. And he will tell you more about it, because I think a lot of you would find it very useful.
Yeah, Dan, let me ask you one more question before we need to go. So as people are listening to this podcast right now, many folks working at big corporations or even all the way down to smaller 10, 20 person shops, retail independent agents, all in cities and hamlets all across the country. They're working at home right now, and maybe they've got their arms around some kind of workflow to manage what's going on right now with the customer service and such. But or they've gotten their arms around how to keep in touch with all the field sales reps out there around the country with Zoom conferences or whatever they're doing. are there any, do you have any quick tips on how, I know there's a lot of depth here, but how people can just take a break from this madness, they're working at home, and think, you know, what are these things I can really, how do I think about hard and soft trends? How do I think about strategy at this point? How can I anticipate things? What is the structure? What are some things they can do while they're home to kind of have this kind of thought, this maybe deeper thought?
Yeah, well, we can, why is it that a cab driver didn't think of Uber? Or why is it that Marriott didn't think of Airbnb? And the reason is simple. They were all busy doing what they've always done. And I think it's really, in other words, you can busy yourself right out of business if you aren't careful. So what I would like us to do is have a little bit of a discipline to, at a minimum, 1 hour a week to unplug from the present and unplug from the crisis you're dealing with, whatever it is. And by the way, you were in one way before the pandemic came along.
Mm-hmm.
And plug into your future, because you're going to spend the rest of your life in the future. Maybe you ought to think about it. And in that hour, you make an appointment, because if you don't make an appointment, it won't happen. You'll be busy doing some managing some other crisis. So if you put it in as an appointment with yourself, and during that hour, which is doable, 1 hour a week, and you look at, what do I know? What are the hard trends that I know will happen, and the opportunities for me or my team or my company right now, and then pick one and make it happen, you'll find yourself, you know, moving forward much faster. So what I'm getting at is, it's a little bit of a discipline you need to have. And I think we can't just be tactical. There's a time we need to be personally strategic for ourselves and for our families, as well as for our business and our teams, as well as for our customers. You can handle 1 hour a week. That's the minimum. I would at least try that. And I think you'll get addicted to it. You'll find it to be very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dan. Well, you've been a great guest. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you. My pleasure. And stay healthy, everybody.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Aartrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.